Wish everyone a good morning. It's always good to come up here and be able to speak a lesson from God's Word. We talk about beautiful words, wonderful words. I don't know if I have the words, and it's, you're not here to hear me, you're here to hear the Word of God. And those are the beautiful words and wonderful words that we'll be talking about today. It's always an honor and a privilege to do so. This is my first lesson here in Connecticut. I'm going to teach a lesson today, and some might think is a basic lesson, but I don't think so. I have done this lesson before. I reviewed it, and then I've learned more, I think, the second, third time around than I did the first time that I gave it. So I appreciate your attendance. I appreciate what you willingness to come here and hear the Word of God, and I pray that the lesson that I have culminated or put together will be beneficial to you. Again, the Word of God is always beneficial, but my thoughts are included in here, but I'm praying that you correspond with what is right. If they don't, I want you to let me know. I don't want to do anything. I think with the honor of coming up here and delivering God's Word, you always have the responsibility and the nervousness of saying something wrong. And if I do that, I want you to let me know. I mean, I do not want to go on teaching something that is outside of God's Word. So you'd be really, you know, you hear this, you'd be a friend of me if you would let me know, and I mean that with 100% sincerity. And if you don't feel like talking to me about it, let Kim know, and she'll smack me upside the head. But what I'd like to talk a little bit about today, we're going to get into the subject of Bible authority, and I think I've made this known that Bible authority is one of my favorite subjects, because without it, what do you have? You know, we all have a period of time. This morning we woke up and we made choices to get out of bed, to come here. We make choices from day to day, what we're going to eat, what we're going to do. And during those choices, you have to make a plan. And then when you get to that plan, you have to make decisions whether you do it this way or that way. And that's not always the right way. You either have, we talk about the crossroads. You go down the right path or the wrong path. And I will not sit here and tell you that I've always made the right decisions, because I'd be a liar if I did that. And there's decisions that seem harmless that we make that are not so harmless. There's consequences that happen in those decisions. So what I want to talk about, you know, we look at, you know, I was kind of nervous this morning in the Bible class, because it seemed like the comments that were made in the Bible class and then some of the songs we sang, I felt like the lesson was already done. So I may be reiterating some of these points that we made this morning, but it's not a bad thing. We hear them over and over again. So before I start, turn to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verses 8 and 9. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he made a point to them. It's the point that I want to make to you today. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceived that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were for but a season. Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorrow after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. If I say anything here today, I'm not personally trying to attack anyone. I'm not trying to attack the congregation. I'm not trying to attack myself. But I am warning us that if there's anything that we hear today, or if there's anything that we need help with the congregation for, do it. Don't wait before it's too late. If you get offended, and if it's something that the Word says, I will not apologize for that. I will not be made sorry for that. You know, I always remember, you know, you stick your foot out in the street and the car comes by, and then you either pull your foot back in and make a change, or you leave your foot out there and let it get run over. You know, before too long, your foot's going to stay out there and you're going to say, well, this is hurting. Or it might get numb and it doesn't bother you anymore that foot keeps getting run over. Don't get to the point where you're numb to the fact that sin's in your life. Make those changes before it's eternally too late. So I will not. If I personally come down with somebody and embarrass you, then I am sorry for that. But if it's what the Word says, and then your conscience is pricked, I'm not sorry at all. But I will be with you, and I will pray for you, and we all will pray for one another. So the lesson that I have decided today is on Bible authority, and this may run a little slower. Yep. So I want to focus in on one thing. We look at denominations today, And we look at what they have done, you know, what they look at different things. What separates us from other congregations or what people call churches? You know, there's always, you know, are we doing the things that the first century church did? And that's something that we should ask ourselves each and every time when we come together. Are we doing the same thing that they did? If not, why aren't we doing those things? And there's a lot of people that have changed minor things for a good cause. I'm not saying they're doing it to hurt somebody, but is it pleasing to God? We talked about this morning, we see the seriousness that God had on the people in the Old Testament. There was direct condemnation of them. We don't see it, so maybe it doesn't focus in our minds that these are important to God, though they may not seem very important to us. Why are they making these changes? And a lot of them will say that it's because of a thing called expediency. Now, expediency, what we might think of, if you're not too familiar with the topic, is it's something that aids in something else getting done. So a lot of people will say that the common concept of this is the end justifies the means, that as long as we get to a certain point and it's for a good cause, it doesn't matter if it's authorized or not. You know, I had a friend one time that we're talking about going to services, and they weren't a member of the church. And she's like, I think that God would understand and respect the fact that I want to go to this birthday party instead of services because it's going to make this other individual happy that I'm there. And God's going to like that. Why? Where do you see that? You know, everybody wants to tell you what God likes and what God thinks. God told us what God thinks in His Word. And He told us, it was brought down to the apostles and the inspired writers by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Let us remember what God says, not what man says. Man tries to manifest or tries to change the things to accommodate what he wants. You know, we talk about expediencies, examples of expediency. This building, people use instrumental music. Bringing in social, an expedient might be a social gathering with a rock band. Beasting painters. Something, the Bibles that we have, the songbooks that we have, an aid to get things done. And I just made a small list just there. Are all those expediencies that we're allowed to have? And that's what we want to talk about a little bit about today. We know that all the results accomplished does not mean that it is authorized by God. Maybe a good thing. I remember studying about different churches and what we call, you know, different denominations or denominations in general and various religions. And I remember the Catholic Church was one that speaks out in my study. And I was thinking about, they had elders. And then all of a sudden, and priests, and they went out, and then there's all of a sudden, you know, there's these country people, so we need someone to overlook them. Harmless. But then they started getting into, well, okay, now we need someone to overlook all of the people that are overlooking all the different groups. And then all of a sudden, it branches out into a big organization where you have bishops, you have priests, you have cardinals, all these things that are not, we don't see anything about in the New Testament. I'm not trying to pick on them, but these are things that we can talk to people like that about, that, you know, why are you doing these things when it's not authorized by the Word of God? Definition of authority, or I'm sorry, of expediency is something that's suitable for achieving an end in a given circumstance. But in order to do this in a religious realm, that we have to be in a place that it has to facilitate the accomplishment of God's will. Again, that doesn't mean it authorizes everything, but it has to be in harmony with His Word. An analogy I want to make this morning, I'm going to pick on DJ just because I like DJ and I like picking on him. And I know he likes picking on me too. So if I asked DJ to wash my truck, and I said, DJ, won't you wash my truck? And of course, I'll pay you. But I only want you to use soap and water. Okay, so that's it. That's the command or the request. And I'll call it a command so we can tie it into what God does. The command was to use only soap and water. Now, how does DJ get that soap and water? Does he wait for it to rain, get a bar of soap, you know, some dial or something, and put it across my truck? DJ, you know, he's a very bright individual. He knows that you take a hose. I didn't say nothing about a hose. Take a hose, you hook it up to a spigot. There's water that's going to come out of that spigot. right? So water comes out of the spigot. DJ uses a bucket to put water in the bucket. He puts soap in there, and he has a sponge, and he washes my truck. As simple as that. The command was, DJ, use soap and water. I didn't have to tell him about all the other stuff. All the other things that he had to use to fulfill this command were expedience. And that's what we have. Now, if DJ said, you know what, I'm going to go above and beyond because I like Steve so much that I'm going to use wax. Well, there might be a reason why I didn't tell him to use wax. Maybe wax is, you know, taking the paint off my truck before. But now DJ has made an addition to. This is not an expedient. I've already specified what I wanted him to use. He has now added to the command that I have given to him. Let's be in harmony with God's word. What is involved in expediency? For the first thing, it has to be lawful. It has to be in harmony with God's will. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, I've got it up here. If you want to follow along in your Bible, please go ahead. Make sure nothing's typed wrong. But it says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And this is reiterated down in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So this tells me two things. No, it tells me more than two, but two points that I want to bring out of this is, for one thing, everything that is lawful for us is not an expedient. So when people try to use this as, oh, we're doing this because it's an expedient, maybe it's not lawful. But I'll tell you one thing, if you do use in the judgment realm, if you have, say, that this is an expedient, it better be lawful. So all things lawful are not expedient, but all expedients had better be lawful in accordance with God's will. How do we know what's lawful for God? Well, we know that, and this is not in like spelled out, but we know by reading the Bible that you can either have direct command. And one, I've mentioned this at the Lord's Supper before. One of the things that you can talk about when you try to bring out the three aspects of how to decide what authority is, use the Lord's Supper. We are told what to eat and what to drink on the Lord's Supper. When Jesus, in Matthew 26, verse 26 through 28, he says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He told us to eat and to drink, and he told us what we are to do and what it represents. He's also told us that we must repent. In Acts 17 and verse 30, excuse me, and he says in that scripture, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So some people say, no, I don't need to do this. All men everywhere. That excludes nobody. Disciples are to contribute upon the first day of the week in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. And we are told that we are to give as we have been prospered. This isn't a time where, you know, we try to solicit things. And, you know, it's not a time for us to try to get wealthy, or it's us to say, well, we got this much money. Or to use that money in a non-scriptural sense, which we'll talk about in a second. But it's a time, upon the first day of the week, we are to give as we have been prospered. He tells us when, and he tells us what we are to do. And also, he tells us in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves, of the saints together. So let's remember these things when it talks about direct command. Another is an approved example. And we talk about approved example, it's an apostolic example. If I did a cartwheel on the way up here, which would be funny to watch, but it is nothing that, you know, now every man after me has to do a cartwheel in order to come up front. Or if something, you know, these are approved apostolic examples that we must do, or must look at. Breaking of the bread upon the first day of the week in Acts 20, verse 7 is the only example of the day that we are to come together to break bread upon is the first day of the week. A lot of people say, we can do it on Thursday, I'll substitute it for Saturday. You know, because I'm busy on Sunday, it doesn't tell us that. When we do that, now we are in violation of what God's Word has told us to do. Church is sending to the relief of others in the form of benevolence. I want to read this, Acts 11, verse 29 through 30. This is one that is very common that people just misunderstand. When he says in Acts 11, 29 through 30, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and they sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now, he didn't say send to everybody, did he? He said send to the brethren. And if you look at any time that they're sent, that the Christians are sending relief to other people as a congregation or as a group, it's always preceded by, it's the brethren, the brothers and sisters. If you can find something different, let me know. I'd love to see it. But we are to send to the relief of our brethren that are in need. That's an approved example that we have. It's not a direct command, but it's an approved example. Also, necessary inference. You know, an inference is, it's something that is giving upon, it's inferred. Of course, inference is inferred, but it's given upon a set of data or premises that we must necessarily draw this conclusion. Jesus came up out of the water. What does that tell us? That Jesus went down into the water. A lot of people say there's, you know, when we talk about baptism and baptizo, the Greek word and so forth, that it's not immersion, or, you know, that you can sprinkle or you can pour water upon somebody. We don't have any example of that. The Ethiopian eunuch, what did he do? He found water and he went down. Jesus must have went down into the water in Matthew 3, verse 16. Get back to the Lord's Supper example. If, you know, a lot of people say, okay, Easter, Christmas, two times a year, I'm done. Lord's Supper. Or I'll do it once a month. I just don't know which first day of the week it's going to be on. Now, I work at Pfizer, and Pfizer came up to me and said, okay, you get paid on the 15th and the last day of every month. And the 15th rolls around, and I got a bill due on the 16th or 17th, and I come to them, and all of a sudden I don't have a check. I go to Pfizer and say, what's wrong? You know, I don't have a check here. Well, we told you the 15th, but we didn't tell you which 15th. So it could be three times a year. You know, I'm looking for that paycheck every time. They told me the 15th and the last day of the month. So let's not, Jesus, or when we were told to partake of the Lord's Supper, and we have that approved example, let's not guess. Let's do exactly what we are to do, and that's to do it every first day of the week. I don't want to be wrong. If Nadab and Abihu were wrong for offering strange fire, and they were instantly punished, I don't want that spiritual death because I decided I was smarter than God and I knew better than he did. So let's humble ourselves and you know, then teach others about this upon the first day of the week that we are to do it. Now, authority may either be specific or generic. And all these are going to come together, so please try to remember these. Generic authority is everything in the realm that is lawful. If I told DJ, please wash my truck. Okay, he can use soap, water, wax. He can do anything he wants to. But if I told him, DJ, I just want soap and water, he added wax, then he did something that was not authorized. So anytime we have a generic form of authority, anything in that realm, as long as it's not contradictory to something else that God has commanded of us, is acceptable. When he specified something, and everything else outside of that that is specified is unlawful. So we know things that are lawful. God sees things that are unlawful in 2 John verses 9 through 11. That whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he that hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So we know from 2 John verse 9 through 11 that this goes beyond that which is written when we do things that are unlawful and going beyond the realm of faith or the realm of the law when we do these things. So it is unlawful for things that are outside of generic or specific example that now is a transgression of God's will and is considered a sin. That is also which is considered unlawful. Again, this is a reiteration, but it's an addition to or substitution for God's way that cannot be claimed as an expedient. Every addition or substitution is unlawful, is relying upon human wisdom. and such is not a matter of expediency, but is a transgression of God's will. I hope he's getting me water, because I got some sinus drainage or something. So let's remember that we have to follow God's will and not do the anything outside of that is a transgression. So what is involved in expediency? I appreciate that. Thank you. Well, for something to be expedient, it has to edify. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23 through 33, we're not going to read this, but it says all things are to be done unto edification. You know, if something is left to choice of expediency falling in the realm of human wisdom or judgment, and its practices causes something to be torn down, then there's a problem. We are to constantly edify one another. If we try to tear someone else down for our own gain, or if we do things that, I've seen this before, there's been like decisions that are made in a congregation where it's not for the edification of the church. It's because people want personal gain for certain things. So let us remember that we are to edify one another. Oops, sorry. We are not to cause division in the body of Christ. I remember when we decided to build a building back in St. Louis, in St. Peter's congregation, that the elders brought everybody together. And because they didn't want to see somebody that may have a problem with this, they asked everybody, if anybody has a problem with this, let us know. And the reason why is they didn't want to tear somebody down. We were always trying to build each other up, and we were always trying to edify those in the church. If it's not essential and destroys the unity and peace of God's children, then it's essential. How many times do we see that? We see it a lot, don't we? We see it with people that, you know, want to make rules, or they want to do things this way and that way. Well, I think we all ought to get together and say, is it necessary? If it's not necessary, and if it's not against God's will, then let's just forget about it. Let's not hurt one individual, cause one person to stumble, because we may have pride, or it may, you know, cause them to have their feelings hurt. But when God commands it, it must be obeyed, such as preaching the word. You know, if I had somebody out today that said, you know what, my parents are divorced, or I'm divorced, and I don't want you to ever teach about divorce, because it hurts my feelings. Well, you know what? Okay, that's not an expediency. Teaching the word is a command, and it's a necessity. So I'm sorry, but when we have to come together and you preach the word and you take things out and try to ignore them because it may hurt somebody, then you are now in transgression of God's will, because you're not doing what you are told to do. You're eliminating things and you're choosing what is important and what is not. Now, if somebody has a problem with it, I'm sorry, and I think we ought to be loving and we ought to be careful not to drive things in the ground. But don't ever eliminate something that God has told us to preach because it may make somebody upset. And that goes in with try not to offend the conscience of a brother. And we shouldn't, again, this is only in the matter of expediency. We shouldn't try to make people do things when it's by human choice and when it's by our judgment. So, I say we, I'm just talking about people in general. So let's not cause a brother to violate his conscience when it's a choice of human wisdom. Let's try not to implement things. You know, if Rich came in and said, you know what, we're singing songs today, everybody should know these songs, let's wipe out all the songbooks. Well, sorry, I don't know, I don't memorize every song. Not that Rich would do that, sorry Rich, but he said, you know, we should know all these things. Well, that could offend somebody. Or if you say, you know what, all people from West Virginia have to sit in the back of the building, so I would be back here by myself, of course. So anyway, but like eating of meats in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7 through 13. Let's not do all these little picky things to try to get your way. Let's not try to tear someone down and edify, because these are not forms of expediency. And it cannot be specified. I say this one for last. I know I've brought this point out through this lesson so far this morning, but it cannot be specified. And we talked about this a little bit today. This is one of the points where I started sweating. God told Noah, use gopher wood, didn't he? Now, Noah,
I mean, how many types of wood are there? I mean, there's maple, oak, you know, I couldn't even, elm, I couldn't even tell you, dogwood. All these things that were probably in abundance. I don't know if they were there or not, but in abundance in the woods at this time. And he was told to use gopher wood. And it's not acceptable for him to use any other type of wood. Now, is it acceptable for him to cut a 3-foot piece and a 7-foot piece? These are expediencies. As long as he fulfilled the dimensions that God has told him to do, the expediencies are, I can go out there and I can pick which gopher wood I want to use, as long as it's gopher wood. He didn't have to use every piece of gopher wood. God specified a male lamb without blemish as a sacrifice, and the Israelites, we see in Exodus 20, or 12, verse 5, chose to obey him. Now, it doesn't mean that they could choose which male lamb in the first year without blemish. But it also means that they couldn't choose any other form of a lamb for a sacrifice. So it has to be specified. You can't go above and beyond and use your own knowledge when God has already told us something to do. So just to reiterate, characterizations of expediency must be lawful. It cannot be an addition or substitution. It must edify. It must not offend the conscience of a brother. And it cannot be specified. Now, I'll look at a few examples before we quit this morning. And this is just for our own benefit, kind of make application. And this is something that we can use to help try to teach others. Examples of expediency. One, we are to assemble. That's a generic example. You know, I forgot to bring up, and, you know, we talk about generic examples. What about the Great Commission? We're to go and teach unto all the world. Now, he tells us to go, right? How are we to go? Is that generic or specific? It's generic, of course. You know, we can go horseback, we can go motorcycle, we can go plane, we can go motorboat. It doesn't matter how we go. Donkey? As long as we go. He tells us to teach. Now, the action itself is specific, but he doesn't tell us what to teach or how to teach, does he? That's generic. When he tells us to teach, we can use, you know, cell phones. We can use, when we're teaching individuals on a one-to-one basis, we can do one-to-one. We can do congregational teaching in our Bible study, teaching the young kids, teaching the older people or the more emotionally or mentally experienced, I should say, or mature or immature. You know, all of us, we're to teach. You know, it doesn't matter if it's by walkie-talkie or if it's by telephone or if it's by TV, radio. We are to go out and teach. So those are the examples. So he tells us to assemble. Did he tell us where to assemble? Yeah, I'm thankful we're not. I mean, maybe I'm wrong by saying this, but I would be nervous coming to worship service every time in the physical manner that they had to in the Old Testament, is making sure everything was directly in place. But that shouldn't make us lax, where in a spiritual manner, we should be as nervous making sure that we're good in our worship service. So, but he doesn't tell us physically where we are to worship, does he? So that's an expedient, would be a place. This is a building. As long as we come together and we assemble, we could rent, buy, build, sit or stand, heat, you know, we want to be comfortable, heat or cool, light. You know, I used to have an aunt before she became a Christian, and I think she was a member of the Methodist Church or the Christian, I can't remember, Christian Church maybe, but anyway, they had instrumental music. And it was always, well, you guys have a fan in your building, that's the same thing as having an instrument. Is it the same? No, it's not. I'll get into that in a few minutes. We are to be baptized. We are to be immersed, completely immersed, buried in baptism. And where are we to do this? It doesn't tell us where, does it? What did the Ethiopian eunuch do? He found water. He was happy. He went on his way after he was baptized. Baptistry, river, creek, bathtub. Now, I know some people have an issue with, and maybe I should eliminate a bathtub, because some people think that the person baptizing should get down in the water with them, but you know, anywhere, you know, if there's a mud puddle out there that's big enough, I don't think there's one big enough to put me in, but if there's a mud puddle out there that's big enough for complete immersion, then that's fine. We were baptized with the water. So let us remember that. The water doesn't have to be cold. It doesn't have to be warm. Still or running, fresh or salt water. It's an expedient of where we are to be baptized, or where we're baptized in this baptistry that we have today. What's unauthorized, though, is sprinkling or pouring. Doesn't tell us that, and we can do those things. We are specified that we are to be baptized. It's a specific command. Sprinkling or pouring, babies or unbelievers, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. after we baptize a baby, after we baptize an unbeliever. Because of the remission of sins, some people say that your sins are already forgiven, and then you're baptized to show that your sins are forgiven. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not he that is saved shall be baptized. It's for the remission of your sins. A lot of people want to change that. You know, in the end, does it matter? Of course it matters. Because you better do the things that God has told you to do. And as far as our teaching goes, you know, a lot of people think that I've been overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. I have an uncle that did that. I was sitting in my car and all of a sudden I got chills and the Holy Spirit came upon me and I was saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We are just told to sing. Singing is a type of music, isn't it? Our voice? Type of music. Trumpet is a type of music, isn't it? Piano is a type of music. Trombone, cello, drums, banging on the back of this chair. They're all types. Could be a form of music. Humming is a form of music. Whistling, form of music. What are we told to do? We are told to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I don't see any recollection of any other type of music that we are to do. When we are told to sing, what does that do that we talked about? It eliminates everything else because it has been specified. It's not a general realm. Now, if he said, go, you know, just have music unto me, then we are authorized to do anything, aren't we, as far as the music goes. He told us to sing, so it eliminates any other type of music. But an expedient in this source would be a book, a memory, number of songs that we sing, whether we sit or stand, or, you know, I know a lot of people would say, well, you know what, we sing two songs before the sermon, then that's just ridiculous. You know, we usually sing three. It's not, number of songs doesn't matter, does it? As long as we fulfill God's command. Instruments of music, choir, every one of us are to sing. It's a command given to all of us. We don't have a select few. You know, I had a friend of mine in the Navy. He got very religious after our time in the Navy, and he became a Baptist preacher. And he visited us in St. Peter's one time, and he went to worship service with us, and he goes, you know what, this was awesome. You guys, I could actually concentrate on what I was seeing. And you guys, he said, this was great, because, you know, we have a band, and we have a guy, and then all of a sudden people just, you know, we can't even hear ourselves sometimes. And he said, people lose what they're trying to sing. And then they just step back and say, I don't need to sing. This band is entertaining. Is that what we're there for? Entertainment? You know, God has given us a law. Do we make amendments? This is what scares me in society today. Are we allowed to make amendments? We do it in our government. If our founding fathers could look at our country today, would they be happy? You know, it's like I always think of a recluse, okay? When you get bit by a recluse, it starts out as a dot. And then it just starts spreading. And then as the sphere just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what happens. We are given a first century church. And we start making little modifications, and that sphere just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it's totally different than what it was set up to be. So let's be careful that we don't do those things. In other words, to lay by in store upon the first day of the week. We ought to keep the basket up here. Is it wrong to take the basket and pass it around? Of course not. It's not. We choose not to do so. And there's nothing wrong for it to sit up here. But it doesn't, you know, we don't say, okay, cash only, you know, fives and ones. So it looks like we have, you know, there's a ton of money in the basket. You know, no coins, we just want stuff flaring out. No, we don't do that. You do like check, cash, however you want to do it. We could have a hat sitting up here, a box. It doesn't have to be the traditional wicker basket, does it? Or we could do it at the beginning or in the service. You know, it's one of those things that we have that option. What we're not authorized to do is try to go out and make a profit. We're the wealthiest congregation in Wallingford. That's not what we're here for. We're here to teach. We're here to provide benevolence. We're here to teach all those in the world that we may encounter, but especially, you know, in this local area. And we're not going out to, you know, try to make money through raffles, chicken dinners, business enterprise, investments, concerts, or whatever it may be. Those are not forms of expediency because they are not what we have been specified to do. Preaching. When are we just preach? Anytime? How often? Again, every time that we can. We can do it by pulpit, radio, TV, tract, where? Doesn't matter, private or public. But unauthorized to do is to, how many times do you see a religious group have the Bible plus their own version of the law? We are not authorized to use that version. That we can't use another doctrine. We can't have missionary societies where we give our money to somebody and all of a sudden they're responsible for divvying that up to go preach somewhere else. We're not authorized to do those things. We have direct examples of what we are to do. Colleges. People say, well, they're teaching the Word of God. Well, are we authorized to do that? They're also, it's a secular institution, organization, and we have no example of where we can do those things. Drink this cup. Who is to drink this cup? His disciples. Where are they to drink it? In the kingdom. When are they to drink it? On the first day of the week. Is it hard? What are they supposed to drink? How many containers are they supposed to have? One? Many? Well, that's a big debate. Who cares? As long as we do the command that is given, we could have one container. Of course, I would be sitting right here unless they started from the back and then I was sitting in the back. But we could have one container or we could have many containers. Those are not important. Drink this cup. We could do it in the morning if we decided that we wanted to meet in the evening instead of the morning, then we could do it in the evening. About 9:30, we got to do it before noon. Now, that's always how it's been done, maybe, in congregations. But as long as we do it upon the first day of the week. But there are some people that want to substitute it for, you know, coffee, tea, soda. Do it on Thursday night, maybe once a year, twice a year, Easter, Christmas. No, every first day of the week. So these are things that are not authorized. These are not expedients, but the containers and so forth, how it is done is. Relieve the needy saints. You know, we can do this by money, food, clothing, facilities, but we do not have the authority to support benevolent societies, orphan homes, assisted living. These are all a good cause, aren't they? And I think we should be doing everything that we can to help these organizations out. That's just my own personal opinion. As an individual, we should be able to try to help people in need. But as a congregation, we have no authority for those things. Jurisdiction of elders. And this is the last point, and then we're going to close. Elders are to oversee the congregation that they are a part of. We don't have elders at this congregation. And I think we should pray for elders, not just the ones that are in our local groups, but we should pray for all of them. One thing the elders do not have, they are not a source of authority. They don't have the legislative power to make laws and rules. God has given that to them, to all of us. So they don't have the jurisdiction to do this. The means to do these things as far as making the rules, but they have a tremendous responsibility to oversee their congregations. How they oversee, you know, it always seems to be a problem with how things are done. And I shouldn't say always, but a lot of times there's a problem with, you know, some people in a congregation will get upset over something but how they oversee. Now they could have meetings, they could, you know, if Patrick and I were an elder or two elders, and we said, well, we're going to have a meeting to see how the rest of the flock is doing, or if they checked off attendance boxes or whatever, that's their decision. Those are all expediencies. Now, there are people that would say, and I read this, some of this material I got from Billy Moore's book on Bible authority, and he brought up an example of where a preacher said, you know what, we'll go ahead for this one service, bring an instrument in if the elders authorize it. Or one woman said, you know what, I have so much to do at home, if I contact the elders and they say it's okay for me to stay home, I can do it. It's going to be fine. And that's not what the elders are there for. But how they oversee, the number and frequency of meetings is is an expedient. What's unauthorized is one elder assuming the oversight of members or monies and work of another church. And of course, there's qualifications of an elder. We always, you know, the big ones, they're all equally important. But they always go back to, are they married? Do they have kids? Let's not forget the other qualifications. What they are supposed to be, apt to teach, humble, and so forth. So those things, they are not allowed to do. But they are, how they oversee and what they do, or the number and frequency of meetings is an expediency. So, I don't know if I made this confusing today. I hope not. I tried to start from the basics and make it bring up together. I know we were talking in Missouri one time about this subject, and a woman said, well, expediency, I hate this word because it's not even in the Bible. It is in the Bible. And we just seen two passages in 1 Corinthians. So let's be careful. Not only the way we worship, but the way we teach. You know, again, there's a lot of denominations out there that are teaching things that are okay. You know, infant baptism and instrumental music and so forth. Again, I don't think we need to be on the war path. Let's use these things, use the Bible out of love and say, hey, maybe this is the reason why. Or not maybe, this is the reason why it's wrong. And then be open up for conversation. But if there's things that you have done that you may feel that you went outside of the realm of God's Word, then it's something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, we're also commanded to pray for one another, and we have that honor and we have that privilege. And we have every opportunity. You know, I always think, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I always sit there and wow, that's a long walk up to the front of the building.
You know, it's just like, you always feel like, okay, it's hard to do because you gotta put yourself out there in front of people. But you know what? If you need prayers and someone judges you, shame on them. You know, we're here for one another. If I need prayers, I want you to be the first people to know. And I would hope that you would do the same for the rest of the congregation. If you're not a member of the church and you are someone that has read and understood and is a believer, but have not been baptized into the body of Christ, then you need to do so. Don't keep your feet out in that road. It's going to hurt. Make a change in your life. Make a change in the way that you think and in the way that you act. What we talked about, the sanctification this morning, and what a wonderful thing, coming up out of the water, knowing that you have been cleansed of those sins because you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's an overwhelming feeling. It's amazing. So if you have problems in your life and you need our prayers, then we urge you to make it known. You don't have to make the walk. It's not that long of a walk, but you don't need to make it. Just let us know. It's a serious thing. Don't wait till it's too late. Or if you need to put on Christ in baptism, we urge you to do so. It's a wonderful thing to be a member of the family of God. So let us think on these things. If you needed any help from any of the members of this congregation, let us think on these things as we stand and sing the invitation.
Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all. Who the heavenly pathway leads, all who Christ receive. Jesus.